All right, good morning. All right, my name is Jonathan. I am just humbled and privileged and honored to be a part of the team here and the family that we call Living Vine Community Church. Thank you, Johnny, and all who were here, whether you're pregnant or not. Wow, that was awesome. If you didn't pick up on that first announcement, just disregard that. But thank you so much. Thank you for everybody who's making this morning happen. And what you're experiencing, whether you are new, whether this is your first time, or you have been here since the light turned green, all that we are experiencing right now, have and will this morning, is a gift from God. It is God's love being poured out without measure into your hearts and minds right now. And my encouragement to you, simple encouragement to you, is to take a deep breath and just receive what God is giving us this morning. Receive what God is giving you this morning and how He wants to work in your heart, in your mind, and in your life this morning. Now, we are starting a new series. It's called The Gospel-Centered Life. Our life groups will be going through a study called The Gospel-Centered Life. I'll be talking more about that as we go this morning. And then after this series, we'll be going into the book of James. So looking forward to this fall. It's going to be awesome. Now, to get us started, I'm just going to start out with a story about one of my dogs. I've got three dogs. And this is the oldest, or if maybe not the oldest, it's the one we've had the longest. His name's Reagan, and I love him, but he is a runner. I mean, he is and has been, and always, he might always will be, he's calmed down quite a bit, but he is a bona fide escape artist. I cannot tell you how many feet, if not yards, hundreds of fencing I have buried, put on top of fences, all in attempts to contain this animal that we love. Now, we moved out to Montana for a couple of years, and we lived in a cabin on a ridge, and we didn't know what we were getting when we got there. There's a backyard with a fence, and we're like, man, wow, who would have thought? And there was even a dog run. I'm like, this is going to be perfect for Reagan. And I don't know how far dogs can see. I didn't look that up, but everywhere you could look, because we were on a ridge, you could see for miles every which way. And let me just tell you, that fence wasn't big enough for him. He was not satisfied in the fence or the dog run. It even had like a dog kennel, and then you could run out this little door. It was awesome, but it wasn't enough. No matter what we did, Reagan was going to bust free. He was going to jump the fence, and he was going to take off. And we didn't have a lot of neighbors, but you could tell where Reagan was. You could follow the path. Birds would flurry. Deer would leap out of their little hiding spots. Horses would run. I mean, neighbors would call. Lights would come on at night. Dogs would start barking. You could tell Reagan is going this way. Reagan is going this way right now. But I can assure you, I can see the look on his face. We tried to train him. We thought about, like, what if we just leave for the holidays, leave him with a trainer, come back, and he'll be this tamed animal. And then I looked at the price of, like, open the door. Just like, look, just like, just let the dog go and hope for the best. I mean, I can just see the look on his face, man. His eyes just, he's busting loose. His eyes are like, yeah, his mouth is smiling. If dogs can smile, he's smiling. His tongue's like out. He's like, I'm out of here. I am out of here. You could call him like, don't go, don't go. He's like, I can't, no command would work. He is busting loose, he's over the fence, and he is gone. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because when I think of the gospel, when I think of the good news, I'm way past my, okay. When I think of the good news, when I think that God's love has been unleashed, no pun intended, through Jesus into my life, into your life, and into this world, that's what I think of. I think Jesus has jumped the fence. He has jumped the fence into my heart, into your life, with full intent and power and love and grace that is transforming, and we will never be the same. He has jumped the fence into this neighborhood, into Woodruff, into wherever you are going. He has jumped the fence. He is busted loose. He is free. And he is this untamable, unending force of love. And we will never be the same. The neighborhood will never be the same. because of Jesus. Anyway, so hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your faithfulness. I've got this quote. I got a box that's got like gospel-centered stuff in it. I've had it for years. I'm pretty sure a lot of the things I might share, and I'll try and give credit where it's due, but it's been in my files. It's come through PDFs, free at one point. I'm sure it's in books now. But one quote, I don't know this guy. I can't remember who Kevin Turner is, but it's a great quote. The gospel cannot leave you as you are, the way you are, or where you are. The gospel cannot leave you as you are, the way you are, or where you are. Jesus, my friends, he's jumped the fence, and we nor the world will ever be the same. And that's what Paul's getting at in Colossians 1, chapter 1, 3 through 6. I'm going to read this, and we're just going to work through, really focusing on 5 and 6 here. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. The saints being, literally, you could translate that to the people, the followers of Christ there in Colossae, a more localized expression there. And so, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you and is indeed in the whole world, and it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood it, the grace of God in truth. I'll put a pin in it there. So what is Paul saying? And here is the gist of it. Jesus has jumped the fence. He's jumped the fence into specifically your past, your present, and into the future. There's no area, there's no aspect of your life that Jesus doesn't want to enter into and transform. Every area of your life, past, present, and future, the gospel has the power to transform those moments, every single one of them. Now let's zero in here. Verse 5, I always like to read the one before it. So, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the people here in Colossae, the followers of Jesus, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. What does that mean? And of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. What is this hope laid up in heaven? Well, it is I would call this a future grace. Again, the gospel is not just speaking to a past moment of transformation in your life. This future grace is actively transforming the way, and what this is what he's saying, what I see in you, what we've heard about you, as he's talking and writing this letter, we've heard about this, what we see, your love and your faith, it is being built and based upon a future grace, a foundation in the present that is based on a hope and a confidence, resting in a future grace. What we see in your life is being fueled and activated. Your faith and your love for one another is being activated by something that's been locked in and secured in your future. Now let's bring that down to just everyday normal life. Here's the question I would ask you. What do you experience when a desired future, and I'll explain this, what do you experience when a desired future becomes a reality? What do you experience when a desired future becomes a reality? Don't go too far and too deep. This is how simple this could be. For some of you, it's like, I found the keys. I can get to work today. That is a future now secured. I'm going to be at work. I'm not going to be late. Or, you know, I'll at least be there. I don't know. I mean, that is a real... Some people are like, thank you, Lord. Like, that is how simple that is. I know that I can get where I need to go. Now let's go a little bit deeper, okay? Maybe it's the job that you need, the job that you want. What does it feel like when you come out of that interview or you get the call the next day and they say, we want you. We want you. Your job is secure. Maybe you even have a contract, I don't know. Maybe for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you're like, it's locked in. I did sales for a little while. I loved it, actually. Shocking. I'm pretty good at it. Like, and you know, I love sales because, man, if you hit your mark week one, gosh, you're like, okay, I'm set. We're going to Trader Joe's. Forget Aldi, right? We're going to Trader Joe's. Hey, we've got, and now I've got, I'm locked in. I've got my mortgage paid, my bills are paid, groceries are built, everything's taken care of. In 1 week, I've got the next 3 or 4 weeks covered. And so I wake up the next day with a confidence, stepping back into my job, knowing, hey, I've got some ground, I got some room, I can buy more, I can sell more, I can do all kinds of things in the next 3 months. I mean 3 weeks, I'm in the bonus round, but see, I'm living in a confidence. It's based on something that's been secured for me. And that is what he's talking about here. That's what Paul is saying. Peter says it really well in 1 Peter 3, 5. 1 Peter 1:3-5, excuse me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here it is. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven, by whom God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Does that sound like it's going anywhere? No, it is locked up, it is secure, it is a definite thing. I don't know if I can tell the difference between Reagan when he welcomed me home the first day he was at my house or 11 years later. I can still hear him when the door opens, it's thud, 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 down the steps, a little bit more thud. He hits that wooden floor, a little more swing on the back. I mean, he is like just coming to greet me as happy as he's ever been. With all the love, like forgetting everything I ever said to him when he ran away. Just like, I love you 100% every single time. What Paul is saying is, man, you're going to wait, you're going to go in, the gates of heaven are going to open one day. And Jesus is going to come busting through. And he's going to come running up to you. And he's not going to stop and smell you. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were somebody else. You're not the guy I was thinking. He's not going to be like, oh, wait, hold on. Remember that thing in 2025? I don't know. No. Unhindered, uninterrupted, nothing's stopping him. Nothing's keeping him back. He is going to fully embrace you. More importantly, we're going to have nothing hindering us to receive his love fully, 100%, completely receiving and experiencing his great love. Isn't that exciting? That's something we can have confidence in. That's what was happening in Colossians, through the Colossians at that time. They were living out of a confidence, and it was being experienced through their love and their faith. The gospel is not just speaking into the past. It has got power, and it's speaking into the future. Verse 5, verse 5 and 6. So he goes on, the word of truth, the gospel, verse 6, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world. Now you can just see, like, some people are getting word from afar, and some people aren't, but Paul is kind of giving them, hey, just to let you know what's going on beyond you, beyond your own world. He's saying, hey, man, this is happening in other places. It's bearing fruit and increasing as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. It's bearing fruit. The power to transform people. And Paul is saying, it's not just happening where you are. It's happening all around. Wherever the gospel is being shared, the power of transformation is taking place, not just with you, but everywhere, all around you. This is not just an encounter that's happening in this one place. He's bearing fruit. It's increasing. Now, this image can stand alone. You don't have to have a theological background. You don't have to know the deep and rich, beautiful history of this terminology of the, in Israel's history to appreciate this. You can say, okay, a seed was planted, it was watered, it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it keeps growing. I mean, look here, the vines, the vineyard. We have acres and acres of vineyard. What a beautiful picture of what happens when something just keeps growing. But wait, hold on, not to wreck this beautifully ordered picture, but what this picture is conveying is, wait, what happens if the vines just keep going? What happens if the vines go across the road? What happens if the vines go over the hill and across that road? What happens if the vines just keep going? And you can imagine these vines going into the community here. Imagine that, going all over the community, north, south, east, and west. Woodruff, Five Forks, wherever that one is, I don't know. Anyway, you see, you get where I'm going. Like, the vines just keep going, and this picture is it just keeps wrapping itself around the world as they knew it at that point. You can get that picture. But it's even more rich and beautiful if you understand the history. Brian even referred to it in his prayer. Being fruitful is a part of the identity of God's people and their history from the very beginning. Genesis 1:28. You're familiar with this. Let me read it. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." We call this the cultural mandate. Simply put, go create and cultivate. Bring light to the world, bring life to the world, do all that you do so that when you do it and when people see it, they look at it and they see me. Be fruitful and multiply. Now this thread, honestly, of bearing fruit and being fruitful starts in Genesis and goes all the way through the whole story, my friends. We're not going to get into it all, but trust me, it's a beautiful picture. It's been going. Paul says this. He's speaking about what's happening here, but he's speaking all the way out of history of Israel, their identity, and who they've been called to be. And now, because of Jesus, they can actually do it. They can be the light. This bearing fruit and increasing is taking place because of Jesus. And Jesus even says it. He paints the picture for his disciples. Maybe they were near the vineyard. Maybe they were looking at vines growing up the temple walls. I don't know. But what he said rings very true. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. The gospel is bearing fruit and increasing and growing. Now, before you think, man, he's putting a lot of scripture and ideas on me, I'm going to use an illustration that hopefully brings it all together from a great, deep, rich, theological cartoon movie, Lilo and Stitch. All right? If you think you're too high and mighty for this, just hold on. All right, this is beautiful. Now, if you don't know the story, I know that's coming out with a new one, right? But here it is. It's in a pinch. Here it is. Stitch is this alien from outer space. Obviously, he's from outer space. And most importantly, he is like a force of destruction. He's like been programmed to just destroy things. And that's all he does. He ends up on Earth. He ends up befriending this girl. Her name is Lilo. And she is sweet as she gets. They're opposites, okay? Reagan, Stitch. Lilo, okay? I'm not Lilo. Anyway, Lilo is sweet, so sweet. No matter how destructive Stitch gets, she just keeps loving him. She loves him no matter what. She loves it almost, I mean, honestly, it looks like there's absolutely no strings attached. She's not going to benefit from anything. In fact, it seems like it's costing her most everything to continue to love him. And finally, it sinks in to Stitch, what's happening, that she's going to love him no matter what. No matter what. And he sees the chaos he's causing. And there's this beautiful moment of transformation when he begins to live into his name. Stitch is his name because she kept hoping he would bring their family together. And because of the transformation that takes place in his life, that's exactly what happens. Now, that's beautiful in and of itself, but what I think is the most brilliant part of the whole movie is the end, really up to the very end, almost leading into and through the credits. It's brilliant, okay? So you've got the story of transformation, but it doesn't end there. It actually starts moving, like when you think it's going to calm down, it's actually going to go back up. We're going to turn Elvis on, Burning Love. You know that song? Okay, sung by Winona Judd, but that's okay. I mean, it's still an awesome song. Okay, that's the soundtrack. And what starts playing now, and this is where it all comes together, are clips of his life, this new life that Stitch has with these new people, his family. And it's clips of the future, it's clips of what's happening right now, what's happened in the past, what's happened in the future. It's the whole story of his life, and it's being framed by one story. That one story is, this is what happens when immeasurable love pours into your life and transforms you. And every picture of his life, whether it's a clip, whether it's a framed picture on the wall, they just keep showing all these pictures. They're framed, and that frame tells a story. My life's been changed. Not wasn't just changed, but it is changed, it has been changed, it's being changed, and you see him being forecast into the future. This is what it looks like if you keep living or abiding in this love. Are you seeing this, my friends? The gospel is framing our lives in love. The past, the present, the future, frame by frame, reel by reel, is showing and telling a story that's based on one story, God's immeasurable love for you through Jesus Christ. Are you tracking with me? So Paul is creating the same type of effect. As you see and visualize all these pictures, you can imagine the story is being said, and you can say, I can see this. I can see how Jesus is working in my life. He's saying, hey, Colossians, look at what you heard. It's been at work since the day you heard it. It's going to work all the way to the end, from the past to the present to the future, reel by reel. Can you see what's happening? Can you see how Jesus, can you see how the truth of the gospel wants to impact not just one frame of your life, not just one moment of your life, but every moment of your life, past, present, and future, every aspect of your life, not just your church Sunday morning life, but your Sunday afternoon life, your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all of it, every single moment of your life, Jesus has jumped the fence and he wants to be a part of it. He wants to transform it. He wants you to experience his love and see what his love can do when you experience it in every aspect of your life. No idea where I am. The gospel cannot leave you as you are, the way you are, or where you are. The gospel is bearing fruit. It's increasing. It is taking one frame at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time, and he is saying, let me enter into this moment with you. Let me love you in this place. And let's see what happens. I used to spend Thursday mornings at Chick-fil-A on Pelham with some young guys. And again, I think these are some notes that have probably found its way into a book or a manual or something, I'm sure. But we would go through these three things over and over again, it felt like. Here they are. The gospel has saved us from the penalty of sin. That's the past, right? The gospel is saving us from the power of sin. That is the present. It means he wants to work in your life. The Spirit wants to be working in these present moments of your life. And the gospel will save us from the presence of sin. One day, as he said, in the future, We will be standing with Jesus, uninterrupted by anything, experiencing God's deep love. All right, so let's put this to practice for a few minutes. Let's take a deep breath and imagine. Maybe you've seen the movie, and maybe you remember the credits roll, and these pictures just keep showing up, and you just keep seeing everything frame by frame, being framed by one story. This is what love can do. Imagine what Jesus' love can do. So right now, I want you to just imagine a wall, maybe a wall like in your house, or it's a hallway, and there's frames there, just frames. And there's nothing in them yet. Hold on. I'm not trying to do a magic trick. No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna actually walk through my notes because I wrote these out. I want this to feel, I don't want to miss this. Okay, so I want you to imagine right now moments from your past. Specifically moments that might be still bringing up guilt and shame in your life. Now, as you think of those, I want you to just get an image. I want you to capture that in a picture framed on the wall. And I want you to just ask, like, Spirit, lead us to those places right now. Specifically, think about the sin that took place in that moment. Maybe it was your words, your action, or your lack of acting. And it caused pain, it caused suffering, some type of brokenness. Another way to put it is, where in this story did you close the door and say, okay, this is as far as you go, God. This is as far as you are allowed to go, Jesus. I'll love here, but I won't love here. I'll love this person, but in this moment, I am not here. I have no desire to love them. That's what I'm talking about. That is the moment. And I want you to really imagine that picture. Who is in that picture? Who's framed in that picture? Maybe it's one person. Maybe it's more than one person that has been affected by what you have done. And now I want you to imagine that Jesus has entered that picture. So get that picture clear in your mind. And then imagine Jesus photobombs you. He jumps into the scene. Now, what does Jesus do in that moment? What is Jesus wanting to do with what he sees and what you see in that frame? Is he taking the pieces and is he putting them back together? What does this picture look like? With Jesus in it. Now, maybe this takes some time. Maybe this is something you begin to rehearse in your own life. And we're going to do one more example. But that's what it looks like to invite Jesus into every area of your life, specifically into your past. Jesus, come into this moment and guide me. What will you say to me in this moment? What would you say to me over this moment in my life? Let me read John 5:24 over you. I'm going to read it from the Message. It's really, actually, it's beautiful. It's urgent that you listen carefully. Anyone who believes what I'm saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, who has in fact put me in charge, it's talking about Jesus, has at this very moment the real, lasting life and is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. How does that speak to your past, my friend? Let me say that last part. Has at this very moment the real, lasting life, and is no longer condemned by an outsider. What is Jesus saying? How is Jesus speaking to you and your past right now? All right. Now, how does that play out? I want to say this as graciously as I can, as one who struggles in these areas. So I speak from experience when I say this. In your moments where you seem like you're lacking grace towards others, we're here now. I'm with you. In the moments where you seem to be lacking grace towards other people, this is a sign that you are not experiencing grace in your own life. Let me say that again. In the moments where you seem to be lacking grace towards other people, this is a sign that you are not experiencing grace in your own life. The way we experience grace is by practicing grace, by rehearsing the gospel, by allowing Jesus to enter every frame of our life, every moment of our life, and speak freedom and grace and forgiveness in that moment. And as you practice that, as you experience that grace, as you apply the gospel to every aspect of your life, as you apply it to those moments where you need to experience His grace, you will be more gracious with others. Another way to say it, and we'll wind down here. In the moments where you find you're being judgmental, maybe you even say it, man, I'm a little bit more judgy, I don't know. Anyway, let's just keep going. Judgmental means you have zeroed in on other people's faults. You're looking at them, you're zeroed in on their faults. I don't want to see any elbows flying right now, please. Or you're magnifying their faults. Chances are you're distracting yourself from dealing with your own sin. You are not allowing yourself to experience the freedom of Jesus' grace and power and love in your own life. Jesus transforming your past and your present and reminding you that you are forgiven and that you are loved. So if you are lacking grace, you're not practicing grace in your own life. You're not applying the gospel. If you're judging others, it's because you're too afraid. You'd rather be distracted with somebody else's faults than your own. And now you're not experiencing the freedom that Jesus wants you to experience. That is how, those are just a couple of examples of how we apply the gospel where the rubber meets the road in our real life. Again, as we conclude, frame by frame, day by day, year by year, moment by moment, the work that Jesus began in each of us, He will be faithful to complete it. He wants to be in every frame of your life and framing every moment of your life with His abundant grace, His immeasurable love, so that you can experience the joy that comes through a gospel-centered life. Let's pray. And so, Jesus, I ask, Lord, that I can see it as we pull out today. You know, the we are bearing fruit and the gospel is increasing as cars move out and go wherever they go. We are bearing fruit. The gospel is increasing. But Lord, may it increase first and foremost in our own life so that wherever we go, however we're being sent out, whether it's school, work, wherever we may be, that we would bear fruit, that it would increase, that people would say, man, I see your faith and your love, and it is evident that you are resting in something and someone greater than yourself. Lord, may we be a testimony to others by first witnessing and experiencing and practicing and applying your love in our lives in every moment of our life. Amen.